This ain't Jump.
This ain't Slam.
The name of this record is Bounce.
What's up, everybody? Jack Maloney back with Friendly Bounce, Hardwood Paroxysm Basketball Network, with my guy Taylor Smith. We're here for our special season preview podcast. Tonight we're going to talk about the Dallas Mavericks. Last year they 50-32, 7th place in the West, lost in the first round to the Houston Rockets. They brought in Deron Williams, Zaza, JaVale, and Samuel Dalembert after they missed out on DeAndre in that fiasco over the summer. They lost Monta Ellis and Rajon Rondo, which is obviously a failed experiment. And then they got Justin Anderson in the draft. So I guess we should just get it out of the way and talk a little bit about the DeAndre thing. Because that was, just a complete disaster. We kind of talked about it on the Clippers one. I think, Taylor, you're actually on that podcast, but I don't know, it doesn't hurt to talk about it again because that was hilarious.
It was like, the highlight of the offseason, for sure.
Like, do you really think, like, you remember, like, those reports where it was, like, Cuban is, like, driving around, like, you can't find DeAndre's house? Like, really? Like, you really think Cuban, like, didn't know where the dude was living, just, like, driving around like a madman?
I could see Cuban driving around like a madman, but sadly, that report, I think, came from Chris Broussard, so probably not what actually happened, yeah. But it was still unbelievable just because, so, he signs with the Mavericks, allegedly, or agrees with the Mavericks.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And then we kind of hear Mark Stein like, the Clippers are having a last-minute meeting with DeAndre Jordan. And it made it seem like the Clippers were the ones that were trying to, like, block him at the last second.
Yeah.
And all the emoji stuff happened, which we talked about on the Clipper one, like you said. And then they're barricading him in the house and not letting the Mavericks or Dan Fagan, Chandler Parsons, nobody can get in the house. And it's a hostage situation with DeAndre. I don't know. It was insane and awesome for all the wrong reasons for Mavericks fans, and it's really awful for them, but I don't know. It's tough to imagine a bigger nut kick than what they got with that whole saga.
Oh, yeah.
They recovered by getting Zaza. Nothing wrong with Zaza, but he's not DeAndre.
No.
Samuel Dalembert.
It definitely seemed initially like Doc Rivers or Blake or somebody was just, like, desperately, like,
yeah,
like pleading with him, basically. Like, give it another thought. Like, we need you back. And, like,
right,
really, it turned out, like, didn't, like, a few weeks ago, it was, like, DeAndre was, like, Snapchatted Doc Rivers' son and was, like,
right,
tell your dad to call me. Like, what?
Yeah. He Snapchatted not Austin.
Yeah, like, the other one.
Like, wow, DeAndre is, like, closer with Doc Rivers' non-Clipper son, Austin Rivers.
Yeah.
Kind of sad for Austin Rivers, but, yeah, at the time, we're just like, oh, man, the Clippers are so embarrassing and desperate. Like, look at them trying to, like, crawl back to DeAndre and get him back, but that wasn't the case. And then the Mavs are just kind of like, what?
Yeah.
What the hell's going on? Like, suddenly going back to them and not even talking to us out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's...
And he told Mark Cuban he was on a date, but he was actually with Blake Griffin, was the story.
That's,
it was
just
so,
like,
bizarre. Like, we need a 30-for-30 on that, for sure.
Yeah, we definitely do. That, it's like, it's so awesome about the media today. Like, that's something you wouldn't have heard, like, any of that. It was just, like, if there wasn't Twitter, if this was, like, 20 years ago, it's probably like, what? Like, like DeAndre like decided to go back to the Clippers, and everyone just be kind of like, oh, like that's kind of weird, like, but okay, I guess he just changed his mind, and like you don't have the like hour by hour like breakdown of like Cubans driving around like there's like supposedly like on a date, but like he's really being held hostage or like yeah, that was a top, like honestly like a top 10 moment in like the league probably like the last few years, and like it had nothing to do with the game.
It is absolutely the best thing that Twitter has ever done. in respect.
But yeah, emojis, so
it was perfect.
So like you said, they at that point there's like almost nothing left for them to do. Like it's not like they could have gone out and signed, like it's not like they could have gone and made a pitch for LaMarcus, like I mean, I don't remember the exact timeline, but like that was their one shot. Like they went after DeAndre and looked like they had him, and then I mean once you miss like that, it's kind of sets you back, because what now you have Zaza, like you need to go, you need a center, you need someone to play, and so like you get Zaza, who I love Zaza, but I mean come on,
right,
not DeAndre Jordan, and but now you don't have it, like if you get Zaza as your backup, like that's fantastic, and now you have like Samuel Dalembert and JaVale McGee, like who weren't even, like, I don't even think they were on teams at the end of last year. Like,
no, they weren't.
It's quite a shift. Like, I don't know what the, like, you know how they have, you know how, like, sometimes during games they'll show you the, you know, like, win prediction, like, percentages or whatever, and, like, it's that graph, and it'll go, like, sometimes, like, a crazy comeback, and, like, all of a sudden it'll just, like, shoot down. I feel like that's what their, like, win probability or win projection was, just like on the DeAndre Jordan signing, and then like a few days later it just shoots down like at least, you know, like 10-15 wins, right? Like,
yeah,
it's a huge swing.
The thing going into the offseason was like, okay, they got Tyson, they traded for him again, he's on a 1-year deal now, I guess this contract was expiring or whatever, and then it's like, well, either they'll get him back or they'll get a younger version of him.
Right.
Jordan. But then on the first day of free agency, Tyson's like, I'm going to go to Phoenix.
Yeah.
And Mavs like, okay, well, I guess it's DeAndre or bust.
Right.
And it worked out for them at first. It's like, oh, good, we got DeAndre, yeah, so we don't really need Tyson anymore. But then it all cratered for them, and they were left scrambling. And I don't think they did badly in the offseason otherwise. I think they possibly upgraded with Deron Williams at point guard, maybe.
I mean,
and Wesley Matthews, I think, is better than Monte Ellis, but we're just getting into all these question marks the Mavs have, and
right,
it seems like it's all going to just, I don't know, you can't really predict what they're going to do because they have so many question marks.
Right. It's one thing if everyone was healthy, that, like, I don't know that they'd necessarily make the playoffs, but they'd certainly be a problem for teams, like, if you have a healthy Wes Matthews, a healthy Chandler, you know, a healthy Dirk, but and Parsons isn't going to play all of preseason. Wesley Matthews is not going to be ready. I don't know what his timeline is, but he's not playing all 82 games for them. And even when he comes back, is not going to be the same player he was, at least right away. And so, you mean like if you're starting the season without Wes or Parsons, like you're looking at rolling out, you know, Deron Williams, Devin Harris backcourt with like Justin Anderson as your three, like, I mean, man, that's rough, especially when you don't have a bench really. I mean, like your backup point guards are JJ Barea and Raymond Felton, and that's like considering that Deron Williams is semi productive, like he might be a disaster, and what do you, like, you don't have a point guard. Like,
yeah.
You
have no point guard. Your shooting guard, who should have been an upgrade over Monte, has, it's okay. They have Chandler Parsons and Wesley Matthews are like their young-ish,
mm-hmm,
appealing players, but Parsons had some kind of microfracture, which is pretty serious, and Matthews had an Achilles, which is also super serious.
Right.
And history shows both of those are super hard to come back from in the NBA. Matthews is going to be 29 soon, which mm-hmm. I can't believe, but he's older than he seems. It just seems like, I don't know, like, what's their plan after this? Like, they have Dirk. I love Dirk. I'm a total Dirk apologist, and I think he can still be a useful player, but without Parsons and Matthews, it's just Dirk on offense and then a bunch of nothing. And Dirk, we saw in the playoffs, he was totally exploited on defense against the Rockets. And they might be the worst defensive team in the NBA at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I mean, like, Deron Williams doesn't play defense. Like, I mean, Dirk can't really, Dirk tries, but he's just not the same player. Like, Justin Anderson's a rookie. I mean, if he's starting at the three, like, that's really rough. I mean, was he supposed to go guard, like, James Harden? Like, come on, that's not fair. I mean, and then when you go to the bench, like, you're looking at, like, your bench unit is, like, Charlie Villanueva, J.J. Barea, John Jenkins, and Sam D'Alembert. Like, that's...
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, what are you going to do? That's...
Honestly, even at full strength, Parsons isn't a very good defender, at least not yet. It seems like he's probably not going to ever be that great. And Wesley Matthews is a good defender, but Achilles, so who knows how he'll recover from that. Zaza is more of an offensive-minded center. The only real plus defenders you would see on the roster are Devin Harris, who's kind of older now, and pre-injury Wesley Matthews.
Yeah.
It's going to be really sad just because they had their hopes up so high.
I know.
They're all rejoicing and partying about DeAndre and then all the way down to this.
Yeah, and it's like it sets you back even more than this year. Like, obviously, this year is going to be rough without DeAndre, but if you sign DeAndre and you have DeAndre, Wes Matthews, and Parsons, that's a decent core to move forward. Like, Dallas is a big market. You might be able to get someone else to come there. And now, I mean, now, like, what are you doing moving forward? Like, this year, they're probably going to be good enough to where they're not getting a top five pick just because you got Dirk and, like, Zaza is a very competent player. You know, Parsons and Matthews come back. Like, they're going to probably drag him to 30 wins. And that's not going to be bad enough for, you know, a real, like, franchise-changing player in the draft. So now you're, like, it's basically just a wasted year. And, you know, that's another year Wes Matthews is older. Like, I mean, you're going to have to try to find a point guard in some way or another. Like, I don't know, Dirk eventually is going to retire, but I don't know what this Mavericks team does. You know, I guess you just rely on Cuban to throw money at someone, I guess, is the plan. Like, what?
Yeah, and that hasn't really worked yet. Like, no. They've been all in on the top free agents for, like, the last 5 years, and they have
nobody.
Deron Williams as a buyout to show for it. Like,
yeah, like, they were trying to get Deron Williams to come, like, when people thought he was still good. You know, like, now he's washed up, and he finally shows up. But, yeah, I don't know, because, like you said, they struck out on everybody. Even you finally thought they got somebody in DeAndre, and he turns his back. Like, I don't know. It doesn't seem like people, like, everyone kind of talks about Cuban being, like, a player's owner or whatever, but it doesn't seem like anyone on the outside actually wants to ever join.
Right. This is the downside of punting on the draft for, like, a decade straight. Not that late first-round picks typically work out, but they would sell their picks, they would trade picks, they would draft Euros that would never show up. You know, they've been wasting draft picks forever, and now that the prime of Dirk is in the rearview mirror, they've lost the other pieces that helped them win their 2011 title. It's kind of just this is the reality going forward, is after whiffing on DeAndre, it's like, should they tank? Like, they can't really tank the end of Dirk's career, because that's really sad. Plus, their coach is way too good to tank. They have, like, the second-best coach in the NBA, I think.
Yeah.
Which is probably why they'll be dragged to 30 wins, which is probably why they won't get a top-5 pick. So right. They're in such a weird transition phase. They won 50 games a year ago, but
I know.
There's a 0% chance they snip that at all this year.
Right. It's just, I mean, the West is so brutal that, like, you win 50 games. Like, 50 games is a lot of games to win. And there was 0% chance they, like, were even winning the first round.
Like, right. Yeah, like, they were totally, like, the Rockets matchup for them wasn't horrible, but they got beat in 5 games.
Yeah.
It wasn't a very close series.
You win 50 games. Like, that's just so devastating to, like, win 50 games and just know, like, yeah, it's over. This is it.
Yeah, the Nets won 38, and they won more playoff games in the first round than the Nets did.
Yeah. And
the door is open for them just because the middle of the West is so questionable. Like, if all breaks right and Parsons comes back early and Matthews comes back early, there's a chance, and maybe they can swing some deal for some useful player somehow in the middle of the season. And maybe Jeremy Evans can be something, and Justin Anderson is a good rookie, and John Jenkins finally gets a chance and proves he's decent. They just need way too much to go well just to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if everything broke perfectly, they'd still win, like, 40 games.
Yeah, it's like, best case scenario is the Jazz don't take a next step, Phoenix doesn't do anything, Sacramento's combusts, and they somehow slide into the 8th seed, and for that you get murdered by the Warriors in 4 games. Like, there's not a lot of upside in Dallas, and it's not like you're Denver where, like, yeah, we're gonna be bad, but we got Moutier to, like, look forward to. Like, I mean, I guess it's just celebrating the end of Dirk's career, but I don't know. I feel like this is kind of gonna be a sad season for the Mavericks.
It seems like it will be, and the incentive for the 8th seed's not even that great, because it's not like the 2013 Rockets where they just got Harden and Beverly showed up and they got the 8th seed and they're playing the Thunder and it's like, all right, this is the start of something, and they just might keep going up. Like, if the Mavs get the 8th seed, like, Matthews is almost 30, Dirk's almost 40, Zaza is 31. All the guys that got them there are, you know, kind of right in the middle of their prime or past the prime. It's not like they're building towards something by getting the 8th seed. It's more like, oh, well, we could have just been terrible. Instead of getting the 8th seed, we would have at least gotten a lottery pick.
Yeah.
Or a high lottery pick. They're getting a lottery pick because they're not making the playoffs. But I don't know. It is really depressing because Dirk's so fun. And
right.
He stuck with them forever through all their 50-win seasons that amounted to nothing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess that's what happens when you roll the dice. And,
right. I mean, they got their title, at least.
Yeah.
You know, for Dirk, that I don't think anyone really, you know, kind of expected that, but they did get that one title, so that was, you know, good for Dallas, but I don't think they're getting another one this year.
That'd be quite a shocking story if they did.
Yeah, that would deserve...
Carlisle should go into the Hall of Fame today, or that day, if they won the title.
I think that's a wrap on the Mavericks. Sorry if it was too depressing for you Mavericks fans out there. But I'm Jack, that's my guy Taylor. Here's our boy DJ Los Latino playing us out. Catch you guys later.
This ain't Jump.
This ain't Slam.
The name of this record is Bounce.